Amen. Well, thank the Lord. It's one of the biggest crowds we've had, preacher. Isn't that something? The unannounced meeting with other things going on. I'll be honest with you, I don't give a rip about other things. I love the Lord. He'd heard my voice and my supplication. My cries came into his ears. Amen. I'll call upon him as long as I live. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Well, before I announce the text, I brought some prayer cards of our family. And you come and get some of those. I'll put them out back at the end of the service. And you pray for us. Keep that in your Bible or on your fridge and pray for us. We desire prayer warriors. I'm going to Albania, Eastern Europe, at the end of this month. And I'm praying for about, we've already got our ticket taken care of. We've already got most of our expense taken care of. And we've got about a $900 bill on our rental for our mini bus we're going to rent. And if you want to help us with that, you can give a 50 or a 100 and see what the Lord tells you, or give what the Lord tells you. And if you want to give that tonight, if the Lord tells you, then that's what you should do.
Amen.
I bless the Lord for his goodness, don't you?
Amen.
It's mighty good to us. Our next trip will be February, and going to three countries in Africa. The Lord's put us there. And on our mission board, he's given us two men going to Africa. And so on that trip, Brother Sharp will be in Kenya, South Sudan, and Uganda. And so the Lord is just, I believe he's reaping a harvest.
Amen.
In these last hours. And I'm thankful for it. Well, this meeting's been so unusual. And I want to say I fell in love with the church family. And I won't remember a lot of your names, but I will not forget you. And that's how it works. I won't. And I may not remember your name, but I know your face, and I know your family, and the Lord's put it in my heart. And old Joe Parsons said that's how you pray for people. He said when you're in that secret place, and the Lord floats that face in front of you, one of them saints, when he floats that person in front of you, you pray for them. That's intercessory prayer. And that's how you do it right there. And I'm an evangelist to the churches. The Lord's made it that way. And when I pastored, I remember God put the members of the church. He put the church in my heart. And they're there today. But as an evangelist, he's put the churches in my heart. And we're to pray for each other. Oh, that ain't just words. I hope you understand that ain't just words. We're to pray. There's power in prayer. I need a little help right there. My, what power's in prayer. And this church is in my heart. I've been to some churches, don't even know I've been there. It either wasn't the Lord's church or it wasn't my ministry. But y'all are in my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Oh, the Lord's doing something here. I don't know. I mean, it's unusual. Troubled waters. Can I get a witness right there?
Amen.
Troubled waters. Ain't no telling what the Lord will do. My, my. I'm supposed to fly to Kansas Saturday, Manhattan, Kansas. A friend and a church, a meeting that I preach every year. And I've got to be with my family tomorrow because I've got two flights to Kansas this month and Eastern Europe at the end of the month. And the week between the two Kansas meetings, I'll be over in South Georgia. I've got to love my family tomorrow. But I'm tore up. I don't know what's going to happen around here. Who knows what the Lord's going to do? Who knows what I'm going to be able to do? He's going to tear a bunch of stuff up. I got a feeling he's going to tear a bunch of stuff up.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Acts chapter 10. Acts in the 10th chapter. Will I be leaving here with mustache envy? Brother James does not have a mustache. A mustache has Brother James. That's exactly how that works. He's never here when I talk about it. That's probably a good thing. That's probably a good thing because that's probably good. And then I had jacket envy last night. The pastor was looking sharp. And I can't believe that he picked it out himself. So I wore my jacket tonight. I don't know if I was trying to make him feel bad or feel good, but I wore it just for him. Amen. I want to say I love Brother Sharp and his family.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That testimony that little Mallory gave. Is that her name?
Yes.
All right. And I keep calling the other one Taylor, but it's Caroline. I don't know. I like Taylor better. I think you're just going to be Taylor. And Caitlin and these girls have been such a blessing. And good to see our little girl from Texas that got saved the other night. And she walked in tonight and says, "She that smile and that glow, and you got it right now. Amen. It's prettier than James' mustache. And it's prettier than the preacher's jacket. And my jacket's a little prettier than his jacket, too. I've noticed that. I still got that bow tie. And the other day, my wife held it up. Where did you get this? I said, I don't know. It's been there so many years. I don't know how to tie it. I look at it and I want to wear it. Acts chapter 10. Amen. The Lord's just been so good to us. I've had a special little treat tonight, old friend. This couple sitting here, this goes as far back as you can go. Me and this lady right here, the same. Went to elementary school together when my dad pastored in Missouri and moved out there when I was 5. And Sister Brenda here, we were in that all in that church together and in our Christian school. And you could have knocked me over with a feather. They've recently moved to Tennessee. That's his mother. And it's a blessing, isn't it? Her dad, Bill Dunlap, and my dad were the best of buddies. They went to every gun show and knife show, and they traded cowboy hats and bought cowboy boots that they never did need, and traded case pocket knives and... I used to spend the night over there, and she had 3 big brothers. And I'll say big brothers, her oldest brother, Bill. Bill could squat 700 pounds, and he'd lift 500 pounds. And I was skinny. And one time I was skinny. This is true. I felt the vibes coming off of, it was coming off the song man's who it was. Wondered where that was coming from. I felt it. And I still have my high school figure. I just love it so much that I've covered it and padded it. And I've insulated it. And it's protected, like with bubble wrap. Happy bubble wrap. Well, that's I used to go over there and them boys, they were all older than me, Patrick and Tim and Bill. And we'd wrestle. Or... It actually, they would throw me across the room one time, and then that was it. But that was there. And then they'd wrestle each other. And I'd stay out of the way. So that's a blessing to see people that you went to church with. Isn't that something? Let's pray. Are y'all in Acts 10? Lord God, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us in this hour God, make preaching what you meant it to be, Lord. And help us in this meeting, Lord. Give clear direction to the pastor what to do, Lord, tonight. And Lord, greater than that, Lord, just come once again. Grant us a divine visitation, Lord. Oh, Lord, do thy work, Father God. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. All the Lord's people said. In Acts chapter 10, I want to show you two things. And we begin reading in verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Amen. There's that noonday hour again. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. Amen. Now when the heaven opens, it's usually God's changing dispensational gears. When the heavens only open twice in Revelation. And in the first time it opened Revelation 4, the churches are leaving. The second time it opened Revelation 19, the church is coming back with Christ. Amen. And this heaven open business, John was baptizing and the Lamb of God, and the heaven opened, that spirit fell. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner. Now watch this net business here. Here's this great sheet, and it's being knit together. And the Lord's dropping this thing down. And it's a picture of how the Lord's wanting to turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. And he had to get that apostle to the circumcision. See, Simon Peter had a special ministry that leaned toward the Jews. And Paul is called the apostle of the uncircumcision to the Gentiles. And God had just saved Paul in chapter 9. And there was a shift taking place that God was now going to the Gentiles. Ain't you glad that he did? I bless the Lord. And so these gears were changing. Things were changing. I'm not going to preach this, but there was a great transition going on in Simon Peter's life. And the Lord sat him down for many days with one Simon, a tanner. I'm not going to preach that tonight, but Simon Peter sat on that rooftop with Simon. Simon the apostle sat up there with Simon the tanner. And he watched as that feller skinned hides and scraped hides. And stretched hides, and soaked hides, and sealed hides. Y'all ain't helping me. Simon the tanner. And God put him on a rooftop for many days. The Mediterranean Sea off to the west, and the field of Sharon off to the east. And he had one eye. The sea always represents the Gentile nations. And that Sharon's a field of grace. God had that old apostle up there, one eye on the Gentiles and one eye on the grace of God. And the Lord was changing gears. And I'm going to say something, you ain't going to go far with God if you ain't willing to let him change gears in your life. Amen. Seasons change. And situations change. And people change. And your environment changes. And sometimes your purpose changes. And these white-haired folk in here can tell you how things change. And I want to tell you one thing. Woo! I felt my first happy bubble right there. God don't ever trade down. That's what my old farmer preacher in Alabama said. God always trades up. If you'll go with God, he's always in the promotion business. If you're getting demoted, honey, it's because you got something wrong in your life. Now, I didn't say things always get better. Sometimes your promotion takes you down. But when you come out of that, you're going to be a lot higher than you was before. And so he sat the old apostle down, and he saved him a brand new one and made him an apostle. And he's trying to show Simon Peter in these unclean animals coming down that the Lord now is going to go save a bunch of undeserving, a bunch of defiled, a bunch that never before been allowed in, strangers and aliens. I'm using this next word not to be ugly, but bastards and orphans and all that never were before allowed in the Lord's camp, never was before allowed in the Lord's tabernacle, never was allowed before to come in, but now, amen, when that veil was rent in twain, the way was made. And so here he comes. Now, it's interesting, this is on my mind, I better obey the Lord and preach it. That first time God saw Peter, he had a net. He was a fisher of men. Amen. And he had to leave his net and take up the Lord's net. God can't do nothing with people who won't leave their old life and let God have their life. And I love that promise he made in Matthew 4. I think it is, follow me, and I will make you. Isn't that a comfort? How many times you hear this in the South? People's got bad doctrine. And they'll say, well, I would get saved, but I can't be a good Christian. Well, all of those of us that have gotten saved, we can't hardly be a good Christian either. You need to quit trying. He never asked you to be a good Christian. I remind you what Joe Parsons' prayer warrior said, that little red-headed woman up in the Carolinas, Miss Hattie Crane. And she slapped my hand when I was just a preacher boy. I said, oh, I've heard you're a great Christian. And she said, there are no great Christians, son. There's just a great Christ in you. Woo! There are no great Christians, just a great Christ in. Amen. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. There's a comfort in that. Follow me and I will. Honey, I promise you, follow him, he'll do everything else. I will make you. And honey, he'll make you what he wants to make out of you. And there he is, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. And then you see him again with a net in John 21 at the end of the Gospels. He'd quit and went back fishing. And they toiled all night and could take nothing, couldn't catch nothing. And an older fisherman had to listen to a younger carpenter tell him how to catch fish. Some of you ain't never going to get no help in your life because you won't take help from anybody. You won't take orders. You won't take counsel. You won't take instruction. And you ain't never going to get nowhere in life. You'll never go forward until you're willing to submit yourself. And so he took instructions there from the Lord. And he said, cast thy net on the right side of the ship. And he took that net and he gathered in 153 great fishes. Now I heard a man tell it, another man argued about it, but I heard a man tell it that I relied upon and said when the United Nations, what was formed first? The League of Nations, that after World War I, and then the United Nations, even further after World War II, you can study that. And said there was 153 nations. And Simon Peter had them keys hung around his neck. The Roman Catholics have twisted that into a bunch of gobbledygook. But he had that in Acts 2. He preached the gospel to the Jews. In Acts 10, he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Can I get a little witness right here? All right, and so there, pulled in them 153 great fishes.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Dr. Ed Vallow of Macon, Georgia, gone to heaven now, wrote one of the best books on Bible numbers that you'll ever find. And he also wrote a 3-volume set on the riches of Revelation, one of the best you'll ever find. If you buy it off the intranet highway system, it'll cost you about $500. That's how precious his books are. And he said that that net that chief apostle cast out and brought in 153, it was the nations. Y'all ain't helping me. Ain't you glad that the gospel's for the nations? Amen. And so he threw out that gospel net. And now here we see him. And the Lord's bringing this sheet, dropping it out of heaven. With all these, and he's telling him, son, dropping this net down, got all, it's been knit together. And it's full of all these unclean animals. God was trying to tell him, we're moving from the Jews to the Gentiles. Watch this right here. So let's look at this. Verse, boy, I'm feeling good about having church tonight. Amen. What about that, Brother Sharp? Who'd ever thought anybody would have come? Biggest crowd we've had. Amen. Look in verse 12. Wherein were all manner. Underline that word all. Ain't you glad that he died for all? Ain't you glad the gospel's for all? Ain't you glad that all can get saved? Amen. I don't pay no attention to what John Calvin or Jacob Arminius said. No, neither one of them said. John Calvin don't let nobody get saved except few, and O. Arminius don't let nobody stay saved. That's both rascals need to. Amen. Well, they know better now. They're on the other side. Oh, listen. All, thank God, and in wherein we're all manner. All manner. Boy, we've had some chapter 3s and chapter 4s. Amen. Thank God. We've seen it this week. We've seen some verse 4s and verse 13s. Amen. Some befores and some afters. I'm about to have a spell is what I'm about to do. It's preaching weather tonight is what it is. What about that? Oh, my. Some of them had to stand up and say, in time past. You wouldn't believe what it was. And then some of you going to have to say, in the ages to come, you ain't going to believe. Woo! But thank God we all can stand up, verse 13. We're talking about Ephesians 1 and 2 if you hadn't been here. But now, in Christ Jesus, thank God, all manner. Here you go. 4-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, would you look at that? That's 4 kind of sinners. That's what I seen. That's what was in that sheet that was knit together and let down to the 4 corners of the earth. Thank God this thing's going to go to the 4 corners before it's done. And it already has in it. Amen. How does the earth have 4 corners? North, south, east, west. Take me to Waffle House and we'll talk about it. Amen. They're round or flat. Ooh. Well, don't be telling Brother Lawson on me now. Amen. How's it have 4 corners? Oh, thank God. There's 4 kinds in this net in here. These old ungodly, undeserving Gentiles. Y'all want to stop for a second and shout about the fact God saves old sinners?
Yeah.
Woo! Let's look at them. Let's break this down, these 4 kinds.
Amen.
And I want to talk about the 4 kinds, be done with that in just a minute, and then show you one thing where we're at, and then we're going to go. Amen. Amen. Well, who knows what we're going to do? All right, let's talk about it. Here's 4 kinds. I'm about to run what I'm about to do. Here's 4 kinds. I'm so glad God saves old sinners. 4-footed beast. There's the image of the beast. This is idolatry. This is the golden calf. This is that bull with the goat with the horns. That's the image of Satan and all you Satan worship. This is your image of the beast. It's idolatry.
Amen, brother.
Oh, it's a worshiping the things of Satan instead of the things of God.
Amen.
Now, I've had a good time picking on my friends that wore their colors tonight. And I picked on everybody last night about being from Georgia. And I like having fun with it. But let me tell you something. What's happening over there, you can almost see it from here. If that's a hobby that you and your family enjoy a little, like me and my boy, I bought him a magazine with all the teams and all the schedule. Me and my boy, we enjoy it.
Amen.
We're going to follow it. We're going to drink Diet Coke. And I just would start to tell you what all I'm going to eat, but that'd take 10, 20 minutes of what I'm planning on eating this season. I'm an old-timey Baptist, saved by grace and kept by grease. Amen. I got me a verse here that says I can eat anything. I'm going to read it to you in a minute. Amen. But let me tell you something. The minute that business over there is not just a simple, it's just a simple pastime, a little good time for your family, and that's all. And the Lord has the first place. And the minute that becomes a God, you ought to burn everything orange you got. I ought to burn everything red I got. And honey, and when I preach in Alabama, they worse about it over there than anything. Maze Jackson preaching over there in the Capitol, and he said, you worship that pigskin over here. Help me right there. Amen, honey. And we have a good time, and I'll wear my red on Saturday, and I'll call 7 people and make fun of them and make them mad and then hang up. That's how I do it right there. So I ain't picking on people but I got news for you. Honey, you need to ask yourself, in America, the fine line when it's something a healthy hobby or when it becomes pagan idolatry.
Amen.
Pastor friend of mine took me fishing with a bass boat. He popped the thing open, and I'm not even a fisherman. And he had all kind of rod and reels already, and we was all day long out there. It just wore me out and made me mad. I mean, it just ain't my cup of tea. But he said, I had to quit this. He said, it's been years the Lord let me have a little boat and do a little fishing. He said, this was my God. Do 36 tournaments a year. And he said, it's been 20 years. Now the Lord's let me fish some now. He said, because I don't care about it no more.
Amen.
And I thinking on this the other day, when does something go from being a hobby to being an idol?
Uh-huh.
And I got an answer for y'all.
Yeah. Amen,
and it can be anything. It can be good things. When does something go from being a healthy hobby that the Lord lets you do as maybe therapeutic to something being an idol in your life that comes before God? When is it wrong? When he tells you. When he tells you.
When he says, why do you love that? And you don't love me no more like you used to?
And that's the answer. And that's the answer. Jacksonville Jaguars come to town. I was pastoring in Florida in my 20s. I got an invitation to a big church on Main Street. Ooh. True story. Billy Graham's cousin that nobody knew. He's a tall rascal. He married a Seminole Indian woman. She was a tall thing too. And she were healthy. Yes, she were. They were precious people. And he pastored on the outskirts of Jacksonville and took a liking to me. I was just a little old preacher boy in my 20s. And got me in with an old-timer named Hiram Chambers. And he is a member of downtown First Baptist Jacksonville. I mean, they boasted a membership up in the 20,000. Not that many attended, but they had thousands attended. And he is trying to get me in there. But I was just a little too old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some great people and in that. There really was. But he got me to a big old church on Main Street. And they had a platform. Their platform was nearly this high. Brother Josh, and like you'd sit here, but to go up and be up that high. And the first night they had an old gal, and she was wearing a miniskirt. Or maybe we should just talk about what she wasn't wearing. That's more to talk about than what she was wearing. And then she climbed up on that pet, and I said, oh, hey. And I had to study the door to the baptistry for about 10 minutes. And they turned on her little contemporary soundtrack, and she did her little boogie-woogie up there. I'm going to say this, I'll be saying this, I'll make more enemies than friends, but I got so many friends, I can't get around to hug all of them anyway, so I'm going to say this. Stay with a piano, an organ, a guitar, stay with old-timey music, and a lot of them soundtracks are good, but they lead to contemporary music, which leads to the contemporary movement, which leads to contemporary men, which leads to contemporary Bibles. Y'all supposed to holler amen in here somewhere. And the whole contemporary thing's right out of a hot part of hell if you're wondering what I'm trying to say. And she stood up there and wiggled and wriggled and did her thing and all that right up there. And we had to look at everything but the singer. And then the Lord, and this is a true story, people don't believe me, they don't have to believe me. The Holy Ghost told me to preach. Jacksonville Jaguars, NFL. It was opening Sunday. They had finally got into Jacksonville. It was the first game ever. And the Holy Ghost told me to preach on why all, this was the title of my sermon. I was in my early 20s. I had a little more vim and vinegar. Title of my sermon was Why All Season Ticket Holders Are Going to Hell. That was my title. That's a good title, wasn't it, Brother Pete? I still ain't changed it. I ain't never preached that again because there ain't never been an opening day for ticket holders. I kind of figured anybody that planned on missing a whole season of Sundays hadn't never been saved. That's just kind of make that, I mean, that deductible reason or inductive. Either way you come at it, that makes sense, don't it? Anybody planned on skipping church for a whole season? I just figured never had been saved.
Amen.
And the choir leader. Brother Tim, you ready for this? The choir leader had a Jaguar painted on the hood of his pickup truck. Because he was a season ticket holder. That meeting's kind of opposite of ours. Ours was scheduled a few days and going longer. That meeting was scheduled a long days and it went shorter. I freed Sunday night, Monday night, and a man called me to, you know, we're cutting this off. He said, you've done plenty fine here and that'll be enough. Thank you. I said, well, I'll be back at the swamp a shouting, you know, just call me if you need me. And by the way, you might need to check out your singer and your speaker, just saying. That's what I said to him. That's what I said to him. That's what I said to the man. They ain't never heard from him since. When does a hobby become an idol? When he tells you. When he tells you. And if you got to ask me how that works, I wonder, have you ever been saved? Because he talks to his children.
Amen.
And he'll say, excuse me, you're hurting my feelings. Lovest thou me more than these?
Amen.
I took my boy to a game the last 2 years. Took him to one game and then last year to another game. And told him on the way there, son, this just means you can have a good time.
Amen.
That don't mean nothing. The Lord means everything.
Yes.
Now let's go have a good time. And get a Diet Coke. And other things. Oh, what about that four-footed beast? The image of the beast. Idolatry. What about Aaron and that golden calf? They entered into idolatry. What about that? What do y'all think about all these images? Some of these old timers in here, your grandparents never seen these images. Never seen. They didn't grow up with. They didn't grow up with television. They didn't grow up with computers. They didn't grow up with dumb phones. My daddy's old pastor, he's 86. He said they named it right. It's a world wide web. How many folks been entangled in it? Do y'all think that the image of the beast might have something to do with all these images? These images? The Hollywood screen? The televisions? In our homes? The computers? The phones? And all them images? And I'm sorry, there ain't very many images on there coming from heaven. Most of them's coming from hell. Let's just think together. I mean, I don't know. But do you think that's got something to do? But with the images from hell coming into our lives. The image of the beast. Up yonder in Pennsylvania. Travel up through there and them Amish and Mennonites, which that's really a strong legalism. That's a great bondage, really. It's a miserable life. And they live under fear. But they won't let you take the pictures. Because they believe in that no graven images. And they don't believe that you're supposed to have an image of yourself. Come on now. What's the first commandment? I said, make no graven images. You worship the God and God only.
Amen.
And have no graven images. And Christ, I'm just thinking out loud. Christ is the image of the invisible God. That's Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1. He's the express image. And He's the image of the invisible God. And you're not to have any graven images. And I'm going to tell you, I'm looking around. I've gotten in trouble in so many churches. There's a reason we don't have statues and sculptures and artist renditions all over these walls. There's a reason. You go with me to Italy and get in some of them Roman Catholic and down in Mexico. I was down in Mexico last year and the tallest crucifix in the world, Google it when you get home, a 90-foot wooden cross with a dead Jesus. All Roman Catholic crosses have a dead Jesus on them. It's in a city in Mexico. I can't remember the name. I couldn't say the name if I could remember it. The only Spanish I speak is at Taco Bell. I'll have a burrito grande. And I can speak it. I can speak it clearly there. Nachos and cheese. I can go down the thing there. Oh, honey. And they had that huge, tallest crucifix in the world. A gigantic thing in that cathedral. Christ is the image. There's a reason we don't have all that. And while I'm here, and y'all skipped the game to come to church, so I couldn't hardly hurt y'all's feeling for nothing. The crowd with all their feelings. Oh! You better watch out these pictures of Jesus. The little effeminate, prettier brown hair than any woman in here I've seen so far. And nothing wrong with y'all's hair, but y'all, none of y'all got hair like the Jesus hair. There's one or two coming close. Did you know that picture of Jesus is from the 16th century French Renaissance? You gonna let a Frenchman... Napoleon was the last Frenchman that would fight. He probably invented French fries. Like, and that's the only good thing that, well, and French toast is good too. I'm talking about four-footed beast. Idolatry. And do y'all remember when there were some things that was God in your life? But the Lord saved you. And now you stand there with Simon Peter, and lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Lovest thou me? Well, let's go ahead and plow deep while we're here. He used the word hate. He said, if a man doesn't hate his wife and his mother and his father and his brothers, he can't pick up his cross and follow me. Ooh wee, that's stout. Boy, that's stout. What's he saying? He's saying if it ever comes down to a choice, your love for me is supposed to be so much stronger that it had the appearance of you rejecting and hating that.
Amen.
Now we know God would never want you to hate with a hellish hatred.
Amen.
But honey, it's in your gospels.
Amen.
If you understand the love of God, you'll understand the hatred of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, amen. Honey. Some folk had to turn their back on their daddy to go with their father.
Amen.
There's some folk had to let their wife go to stay with Jesus.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Well, there's some folk had to stand for God and their own children.
Amen.
Go. And they stayed with God. Are y'all bearing witness?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, it's a stout. It's a stout. C.F. Weigel, old Charles Weigel, wrote that great song. God called him to preach, be an evangelist. His wife walked out on him. Said, I don't want to be a Christian or a preacher's wife. And she headed out the door and up somewhere in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. That young man, so depressed, walked out and sat down on the cliff of the seaside and going to toss himself down to the rocks below. But the good Holy Ghost stood up inside him and brought him comfort.
Amen.
And that's where he penned the song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Amen.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day, He asked me to sing. Thought I forget. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me till one day I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. There's another verse, but I can't remember it. Oh, my. What's the next one on our list? Oh, don't make me sing more sense. That's the best verse. All my life was full of sin. When Jesus found me, all my heart was full of misery and woe.
Amen.
and took the wrapped his loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's why we love him above all else. And I tell you, when these things, and that, there's three or four things I enjoy. But I'll tell you, when they become an idol, it's when he tells you they are.
Amen. Amen.
When he says, excuse me, I want you to get rid of that.
He said, but it ain't a sin. He said, it just became a sin.
Amen.
Right there when you argued about letting it go, it just became your sin.
Amen.
You said, but they're all doing it. He said, I ain't talking to them. I'm talking to you.
Amen.
What's the next one on the list? After the four-footed beast, what's the next thing? Wild beast. Let's just stop and say, ain't you glad God saves wild sinners?
Amen.
This is the maniac of Gadara crying and cutting himself with stones, running, living in the graveyard. No man could chain him. Ain't you glad God saves him wild ones?
Amen.
I'm glad he goes down there and gets the drunk off Main Street. I'm glad he goes down there and gets the harlot. He gets that little family out of the crack house. He goes down there. I met a fella one of my trips out west, missionary to China. An old pastor from Texas was with him, Bob Van Dyke. And he told us he should need to let that boy testify in this camp meeting. It was out on the Colorado-Utah border. He stood up and testified. He said, I want to tell you a story about a 12-year-old girl in a drunkard's home. This little rough pastor, I'm sorry, got raped in an alley by three men, having to go down there and trying to find her dead. And she came out of that evening with child. Three men in an alley. And he said, her family didn't even care. She didn't even have no family to speak of, not to speak of. They didn't even care. Said she had no grandpa. He wasn't even godly. But he told her, it ain't right to kill that baby.
Amen. 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 Right, brother. Amen.
And he said, the little 12-year-old girl wouldn't kill that baby.
No.
And her and her grandpa went down there and they gave birth. She gave birth to that baby. And said that baby growed up and as a teenage boy living in that same rough life. A little bus pulled up one day. Somebody got off and said, we're picking up kids and taking them to church.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And he said that son of hers went to that church and got saved.
Amen.
And got filled with the Holy Spirit. And got called to be a missionary to China.
Amen.
He said, that's me.
Glory.
That was my mom. Ain't you glad God goes down there to where the wild?
Yeah. Amen.
Woo! He'll save them out of a bar. He'll save them out of a crack house. He'll save them out of a cat house. And honey, I like sitting around folks who got saved out of deep sin.
Yeah. Amen.
They'll never forget when the Lord came and found them. And they don't never wrestle with doubts. You know what they have to wrestle? They have to wrestle with devils. There are other devils that bother them along the way. It's the only reason he attacks some of you about your salvation. That's the only thing he got to attack you about. Next time you doubt your salvation, shout for an hour and be glad you got a salvation to doubt. Next time you wrestle with that little spirit of doubt and fear, shout for 3 days that that's all he's got to mess with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Yes. That's all he's got to mess with you with. Amen. I had a lady in my church. She is a single mom, already a drunk in her mid-30s. I'll skip a long story. The 2 daughters come to our church and got saved.
Amen.
Sat on the 4th row. The night I gave an engagement ring after our church Valentine banquet. I was 21 and in Bible college when they asked me to pastor. God sent my little Ruth to the corner of the field. I was Boaz. I was riding on a white horse. I was Boaz. Only I was John Boaz Wayne. I talked like this for a couple of years, and then God sent her in there, and I started talking like this. Hello, little lady. Just step up on my saddle up here. We'll ride off into the sunset. My church people looked at me weird for a home, but I had to talk like that until I got her. I gave her an engagement ring one night at church after our sweetheart banquet. I forgot her flower, but I had a diamond ring. She got over it pretty quick when I pulled that thing. Took her to the altar. Next morning, God confirmed it, saved Linda Rahere. We shouted during Sunday school, y'all need to learn to have church. Quit trying to keep all your traditions. Have church.
Amen.
Don't dump your biblical traditions and go contemporary, but dump a lot of your man-made stuff and have church.
Amen.
We just skipped Sunday school, shouted the whole way through it. Around 10:40, I was up on a bench over there preaching.
Yeah.
And that single mom, I think that year we had people saved every Sunday.
Amen.
And I mean walking the aisles.
Amen.
She sobbed. I mean red-faced, sucked back sobbing. Sitting right there sobbing. Hit the altar and got saved.
Amen.
We shouted, and then she never quit shouting.
Amen.
She shouted 2 years, every service. She didn't shout, she cried. Lost her composure. It got until I got curious. Then I got plumb aggravated. Well, how do you do that? I mean, I'm the pastor, and I have an off service occasionally.
Amen.
I have a headache or come to church mad. Y'all quit acting spiritual, you know that's right. I was raised in a pastor's home. You're never more mad than on Sunday morning. You can't find your belt. The wife can't get her hair curled. Your car won't crank. Trip over the dog. Run over the mailbox. Cussing without saying ugly words all the way to church. Have to fake it across the parking lot. Smile. You know, the other fat. You're like, good morning, fellow Christians. Fake smile. y'all quit lying. Don't make me think I'm the only one. I see it on
you.
So I got to watching her. I'm sitting over here. And I'd have to look around the pulpit a little bit. Yep, sure enough. It went 2 years. Got tore up from the floor up. Every service. Amen. One day I asked her. Called her in the office. Left the door open. Down the hallway there, everybody back and forth between Sunday school and church. I said, I was trying to be minister. Sister Rahara, I need to speak to you. She said, that wasn't John Wayne. That was like a weird pastor. And she stepped in the office and I said, thank you, sister. Now I got to ask you a question.
2 years. And I'm waiting on you to have an off service. You cry every time or you shout every time.
Yeah, amen.
I said, tell me about that. She said, I've never thought about it.
Amen.
I said, well, I've been thinking about it. I'm supposed to know how to do that, not you, young Christian. I said, don't you ever have a headache? Don't them devils ever bother you? She said, yeah. She said, I feel bad a lot of times. And she started to cry. And she said, Brother Dean, I have some terrible weeks. The devil bothering me. She sat there a minute. We talked a little. She figured out what it was. She said, you know, preacher, it's the 45-minute ride I have over here. She said, yeah, I have terrible days and terrible weeks sometimes being a single mom. She said, but I passed 3 bars on my way to church that I used to go to. And she said, when I passed bar number one, I look over there and remember when I used to pull in there. She said, I passed bar number two. And this is a little rough, but it's what she said. And I can remember throwing up at 2 a.m. on Saturday, laying in the yard out there. This is rough. There's children in here. She said, I remember going out behind them bars. Not even know who I was with. She said, by the time I get past bar number 3, I forgot the bad day. And I've forgotten all them bad devils. They quit talking to me. She said, because I ain't pulling in there no more. I'm headed to the house of God. And then she had a spell right there. Made me plumb mad. She didn't even got to wait for church. She's shouting in the office. She said, woo, woo. She said, I ain't coming. Woo. She shouted in the office. I said, I'm leaving. I'm going into the services. Oh, ain't you glad that he saves wild sinners? What's the third one? Oh, my. Now, here's all these sneaky sinners. This is sins. This, ain't you glad God saves people out of them sins? You sneak around. You know when you lie, you got to sneak around with it. Got to tell 3 more lies to cover that lie. Do you know when you stealing stuff, you sneak. Most of them commandments you breaking. When you crawling out of that window, over there's somebody else's wife. When you coming out of that office, sneaking out of that locked office where you work. Help me now. You say something, young people, adultery. Adultery. Whoremongering and fornication, adultery. It'll wreck your life. It'll wreck your life. It'll wreck your life. Them creeping sins. Them sins you got to creep around with. How do you get over creeping sins? Turn your creeping into crawling.
Amen.
Crawl to the altar.
Amen.
Quit creeping around and sinning. And just crawl to an altar.
Amen.
And say, oh God, I'm tired of living a lie. I'm tired of sneaking around.
Yes.
I'm glad he saves creeps.
Amen.
Amen.
What's the fourth one? I'm going to close on this one. These are demons. This is people with a demonic life. 95-97% of the time that you see these fowls in the Bible, they're talking about devils. Them fowls of the air came down and tried to get Abraham's sacrifice. Those fowls came by the wayside and stole that seed. This is people with devils and demons. Aren't you glad he comes and saves people?
Amen.
Where devils have got a stronghold in their life.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I met an old boy from California when I pastored in Florida. I went to Bob Gray's Bible School in Jacksonville. An old boy come out from California. He had been a lieutenant in the Church of Satan. I don't even know what that means. He tried to tell me one time. I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to know what that means. He got saved. He's a pastor. He went to Scotland as a missionary for some time. Clay Pearson. And he's a pastor in South Georgia now, married a Georgia girl. He come from California and married a Georgia girl. I told him there's laws against that. Coming from California. I told him, I said, I found California in the Bible. Song of Solomon 5. I went down in the Valley of Nuts to see the fruits. I was trying to run him off, but he just laughed, thought it was funny. I had to put up with him for 2 years. He was one of my dear friends. You see how good I am to my friends. Clay Pearson. He understood the spirit world. And I'm not going to talk about some things. There's children here. You don't need to, listen, you don't ever need to study witchcraft.
Amen.
You don't ever need to mess with a Ouija board. You don't need to ever get involved with witches and warlocks and wizards.
Amen.
You don't need to be playing with none of these zombies and ghost whisperers.
Amen.
The Bible speaks against necromancy.
Yes.
Speaking to the dead, speaking to the devils, romancing the dead. All these ghost whisperers and all these ghost hunters and all these psychics and mediums.
Yes.
Yes. And they were living in a bad hour when they say witches are good and Christians are bad.
Amen.
When you call good evil and evil good,
Amen.
That's the hour we're in.
Amen. Twilight.
Can I talk about that for 1 second? You wouldn't even believe the pastor's wives, young ones, that love twilight. They said, oh, it's a love story. In love with a vampire, which is a dead corpse animated and filled by a demon spirit and thirsty for blood. Y'all ain't helping me. It's the Antichrist. He'll be killed with a deadly wound to his head, probably halfway through the tribulation. Then Satan's going to enter into him and you're going to have a dead corpse standing there animated by the power of hell. And he's thirsty for the blood of the human race. Why do you think zombies and vampires are the rage of the hour? Because we're fixing to be looking at a whole bunch of them. But I'll be looking at it from the other side. Those in the tribulation period are going to be seen up close and personal.
Yeah, amen.
I got a little theory about the zombies. Bloodthirsty corpse hungry for the blood and the flesh of the human race. I think in the tribulation period, there's going to be so many of them die, get killed. What about that 2 million man army going to march over from China? I think they'll be wiped out with some sort of bomb, some sort of battle. And then I think the devils out of bottomless pit are going to fill their corpses and they're going to stand back up and keep marching. I think the reason the devil's getting this generation ready for marching dead bodies is because they're fixing to see a bunch of them. In the tribulation period. Devils taking over corpses. And the Antichrist is going to be standing there, a dead corpse, he'll be standing there as the Antichrist and then he'll come back as the son of perdition. Satan will enter into him. And they tell me, well, Twilight, she's in love with him. It's a love story. Honey, they're getting this generation ready to embrace the Antichrist. He'll demand to be worshipped and adored and they'll already have been loving vampires. They'll already have been loving zombies. They already have been loving demon-possessed, bloodthirsty corpses. Y'all ain't helping me. Oh, it's a love story, all right. Boy, this meeting's went deep tonight, Pastor. She's went deep. You reckon God wants to deliver some folk?
Amen.
You let a witch into your life. You let a wizard into your life. You let a psychic into your life. Honey, you're opening up portals. You're inviting devils.
Amen.
Some of you ain't looked at me this entire week, and you're looking at me tonight. I don't know what's looking at me.
Amen.
Honey, you're in a university town. They love witchcraft. They love the Orient.
Amen.
They love the New Age movement.
Amen.
Y'all live real close quarters to spiritual wickedness in high places. Every secular major university in this nation is a city that's slammed up with more New Age pagan devils and witches.
Amen.
Sodomites.
Amen.
Help me now.
Amen.
I'm doing some writing, and I like to find a Panera Bread. I got Wi-Fi, and I can go in there and get a coffee and find a corner, and I go in there and pray and open my three Bibles and sit in there, and I'm able to write. If I stay in the motel room, I end up eating cookies and drinking Diet Coke. I got to go somewhere where I can. And I Googled the Panera Breads, and I accidentally went down on your campus. And I got to tell y'all what was swarming around me the other morning. It was a swarm. Some little old youth pastor sitting over there and had him a counseling session one after another. You about had to come get me. You just don't know. I'll have to tell you that story at the Waffle House. And you got to buy the chili or I won't tell the story. And we ain't getting no cup of chili. We're getting a bowl. Waffle House chili will cure you of things ain't even wrong with you. There's things you will never die of if you eat enough Waffle House chili. And if it's been there 3 days, you may live to be 120. Every major university in this nation has been taken over by the hounds of hell. There's more sodomites and witches in every major university. Y'all ain't helping me. Why do you think our kids in this generation don't even know if they're a man or a woman?
Amen.
I sure am glad that Jesus can walk into those maniacs.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Talk to them 1,000 devils at one time. And all them shackles and chains where all the psychiatrists and psychotherapists and all that man tried.
They said, just put him in the tombs. We can't help him.
But
I know a man that could help him. His name is Jesus. I tell this and I'm done. We're not going to that other thing. This thing got big. Glory to God. I've told this story a lot. Some of you have heard it. At our teen camp a few years ago, a man called me. We had about 12 churches come together, about 200 kids. He said, we just got a little girl at our church. She's never had her parents. She's living with her grandparents, and that's not a good situation. He said, everything's black. Hair's purple. Her fingernails are black. Her eyes are black. She got nuts and bolts, piercings everywhere. He said, she's deep into that world. He said, she had some other problems. All that is him is just trying to make a way to let them demons out. The physical pain is actually a relief from the emotional pain. And he said to me, he's concerned what she might do to herself, what she might do to somebody else that week. He said, can we bring her? I hesitated for one moment. 10 different lawsuits ran through my head. But that was the spirit of fear. And I rebuked it. I said, bring her! If God can't help her, I need to quit what I'm doing.
Amen.
Stay at my house and love on my babies.
Amen, brother.
And they brought her and she sat there and she didn't speak. She's 16. And she looked at the floor and she was almost like she could see into hell. Hell was looking at her. And she sat there Monday night and Tuesday morning service and Tuesday night, 3 services. And after the service, there's a little tree. We had 3 trees out in the grass. And some reason the kids were going out there to pray. And they's all going to that middle tree. You can't make that stuff up. They's just going out there to them trees and they'd get around that middle tree. I'd look at it and I'd have a happy bubble the size of Arkansas.
Amen, son.
I seen her grab that pastor's wife after the service. Some people don't even know how to act in church. They don't even know what this stuff's for. And they went out to that middle tree.
Amen.
And she got saved.
Amen.
Next morning in our morning service, I was telling everybody, and everybody shouting. And honey, that little girl was just glowing.
Amen.
She's glowing like old Texas back there.
Amen.
Sister Texas. She's still glowing right now.
Amen.
She's just glowing. Well, she'd never been around church. I didn't want to embarrass her. I wasn't going to make her testify right then. I was going to give her a little time, get used to us. And I said, I had a handheld microphone, and she's sitting over there. And I said, here in a day or two, we're going to let her come up and tell y'all what the Lord's done after she gets used to. Well, that wasn't going to happen. Somebody was tugging it. It was her, this little shy, quiet girl. And I looked, and she just reached up and took the thing from me. And she only said one thing. She held it, and she said, I have been in a deep, dark hole for a long time. She said, but last night, the hand of God reached down into my pit. So what did she say? And pulled me out. Handing me the microphone, went back to her seat in tears running. And then I throwed a very expensive handheld mic, just throwed it somewhere. I don't know where it went. And I just went to running. 20 of them ran away. We shouted. We shouted for an hour. Woo! I'm glad that he can come down to people who the black birds of hell have roosted in their life. And he can kill them with a double-barreled Old Testament and New Testament.
Amen.
1611 model. Amen. I am so glad that God saves old sinners. Our heads are bowed. Pastor, who do you want to come and make a little music? I want you tonight to, I don't know what to tell you. Some of you need to come get on this altar and thank God that He saved you. It's been so long since you've been thankful. You ought to come be thankful. Some of you ought to come back on this altar and ask God for that Holy Ghost burden praying for sinners you used to have. Remember when you used to have that? Remember, that's all you want to do is see somebody get saved. You prayed for it. You wept for it. And then somebody tonight ought to come be saved. Well, that drawing power is stronger in here tonight than any night that we've had. Oh, somebody ought to walk out of your pew, get on your knees on an old-fashioned altar, and ask the Lord to save you. He promised He would. Let's all stand. Y'all obey the Lord. Let's obey the Lord.